Well, I have the privilege of introducing our guest speaker today. Pastor Larry is not here today, but several months ago, he called up our guest speaker today and wanted to find out if she would be willing to speak at Pentecost Sunday. And so this lady is an amazing lady. I met her 17 years ago, May 1st, and I fell in love with her very quickly, because 6 months later, we got married. So, but I love this lady, and she can preach. All right? I mean, I'm biased, but you'll see. So, would you please welcome Renee Lunsford?
My husband is so sweet. Oh, wow. Thank you, guys. It is such a blessing to speak to my church family today, and it's just wonderful to look out on all your faces. So you guys have been a part of our lives for, what is this year? It's 2019, since 2012. So for the last 7 years for a lot of you, and some of you we knew before that. And so we appreciate how you've invested in our lives and loved us and come around us. And so it is a pleasure to speak to you today. He is administrative pastor here at and discipleship. And he kind of does a lot of stuff. So if this is your first time here, that's who he is. And if this is your first time here and you really wanted to hear the pastor speak, I'm really sorry. It's not my fault. So I only do what I'm told. That's all. So, if this is your first time here, which it might be, we talked about the day of Pentecost. And some of you might say, well, what is the day of Pentecost? Because I don't even know what that is. We consider ourselves a Pentecostal church, which means that there's some things that happened on the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to tell you what that is. Many years ago in the New Testament, after Jesus died and was raised again and rose up into heaven, some things happened on that day, and pretty amazing, big deal kind of stuff. And we believe that some of the things that happened on that day are also for us today. Things like we believe that speaking in other languages by the power of God without having learned it before is a valid and true spiritual thing that happens today. We believe in things like prophecy. We believe in divine healing. We believe in all these kinds of things and the working of the Spirit in those ways. So that's what being a Pentecostal church means. And I don't want to insult anybody. Some of you are probably like, oh. But I've talked to some people who go, oh, I go to Freedom Church. And they're like, well, what kind of church is that? Oh, well, it's an Assemblies of God church and it's a Pentecostal church. And they look at me with this blank look in their eyes. And I realize that they just didn't have any connection to that term before. So that's why I explain it to you, because we don't all know that what we don't know, right? So today is a special day because today marks the day of Pentecost in the New Testament. We're going to look at the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, which is a big day. And we're going to notice some connections with the Old Testament feast, which is what the day of Pentecost celebrated, this feast day. And we're going to discuss the event and what its timing means about God's heart for people and for us. And we're gonna also talk about how we can see the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So that's where I'm going with all this. I always like, when the preacher starts, I like to know where they're going. That's where I'm going. That's our roadmap. Unless the Holy Spirit changes our minds. So, which is all right. So we're going to start with, we're going to pray. That's how we're going to start. All right, Father, oh, you are so good. You love us so completely and you know us so completely. Thank you, God, that you sent the good gift of the Holy Spirit. And today, Father, I pray that you would speak to each person exactly where they are today. No matter what has been going on in their lives this week, Lord, no matter if they know you or if they don't know you or if they grew up in church all their lives or they've never been to a church before, Father, I pray that you'd meet each person and speak to their hearts, Father, and that you would draw us all closer to you and speak your truth today, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to look at Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read, what we're going to do is first I'm going to read a bunch of scripture with you, okay? And you can, we're going to have it up on the screens. You can follow along on the screen, or if you actually bring a paper Bible to church, who brings a paper Bible to church? Hold it up. There's still some Bibles in the house. Now, I'll admit, I'm a mom. I have 5 kids. And when I come into church, I've got my hands all busy, and I've got my purse, and I've got all my stuff. And carrying my Bible, too, is kind of hard sometimes. So I do bring my Bible to church on my phone. But, you know, a paper Bible is a special thing. And I think when I don't have a bunch of young children, I'm going to bring my paper Bible again. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 to start with. Okay, and I'm in the New Living Translation, so if you have a different translation, it'll sound slightly different, but the Lord will speak the same way. He says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, and this is the physician Luke speaking, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Do you ever wonder what he talked about? What else did Jesus talk to his disciples about during those 40 days that we don't know about? Someday I'm going to find out. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come? Has it come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" So his apostles were thinking of like the overthrow of Rome and the establishment of the Jewish kingdom on earth again and not being oppressed by anybody and being free from these terrible Romans. And so they're like, well, you know, Jesus, he died and that was bad and we thought everything was ending and it was horrible and then he rose again and then we thought everything was great and it's good again and now is the time. Is it the time, Lord? Well, this is what he said. He said, he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." So he's like, sorry, guys. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem and in throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. And that's, I'm going to stop in that chapter. After that, there's some angels that are like, hey, he's not here anymore. Stop staring at the clouds. But, and then I'm going to skip down to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And it says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Think about the last hurricane that you weathered. We know what windstorms sound like here in Florida. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard this loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages? Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus." They had to go list them all. And, you know, this is probably a lot of people talking together, so it's probably blah, 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 lots of, you know, this is not just one guy probably who stood up and said, how can this be? You know, this is probably everybody, all the gibberish of everybody talking together. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, in the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear all these people talking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done. They stood there, amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. So at that point, we're going to stop reading from the actual scriptures because Peter's about to stand up and bring like this big old sermon down on everybody. So Peter stands up and he preaches this powerful sermon, and I imagine him, they were staying in an upper room, right? And there's all this crowd gathered below, and people have all been drawn to the sound of this strange thing, these languages from, they're all like, wait, I hear somebody speaking in my own language, that's odd. And so there's all this giant crowd, and he stands, I imagine him on the roof, I imagine him on a balcony, at the doorway, something like that, on a staircase, and he preaches this whole long sermon using the prophecies of the Old Testament to show that Jesus really was the Messiah. Because everything in the Old Testament is connected to the New Testament. They are not separate things, because it's a wonderful thing the way they're connected, and we're going to think about that in a minute. All right, we're going to pick up reading the actual text in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and we're going to read to verse 41. Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, your children, and to those who are far away, to all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. Peter was very long-winded. Hopefully I'm not as long-winded as Peter it was, but I won't ask my husband to tell you whether I am or not. And so Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Man, that was a big deal. What a big day for this new church they had gone on this roller coaster of emotions where, like I said, they were like, yeah, Jesus is awesome. Jesus is dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus is back. And now comes this day when they've been waiting in the upper room. It was on the day of Pentecost, which is important because we're going to think about what that day of Pentecost really was in the Old Testament. Because remember how I said everything in the Old Testament is connected to the New Testament? Well, the word testament is the same thing as the word covenant. That means the same thing. And that also means, any of my JBQ people know what that means? Where's my JBQ daughter? She's like, oh, mom's talking to me. What does the word testament mean, Abby? That's right. It's a contract, a covenant, an agreement between two parties, and in this case, between God and man. So in the Old Testament, they were under the old covenant, this agreement that God made with people where he said, you know, follow me, I'll be your people, you be my people, and I'll be your God. And when you have sinned, when you have done things that are wrong, you can offer these sacrifices, and then I'll be able to accept you into my presence. And so that was the old covenant. The events in the book of Acts reflect on the old covenant, and they transition the people of God into the new covenant. In the old covenant, sin was atoned for through animal sacrifices, and they had to be done over and over and over. Now, if you're a person like I was when I was learning about this as a teenager, after I began to know the Lord, I thought, oh, that's so mean to all those poor animals. And I didn't realize at the time, I've come to realize that that's sort of the point, that there was pain and death and sorrow connected to sin. Because when sin came into the world, there was a penalty for sin. It brought death. And God was trying to find a way to take that, to relieve his people of that penalty so that he could be close to them. And something had to die in their place. So it's not that we're like, whatever, animals. No, it's like, oh, this is heart-wrenching and terrible that something had to die for my sins. And they had to stand there and look at it and do it with their, you know, they would take it to the priest and it was bloody and terrible. But that was the point, because sin is terrible. So they would do this in the temple. At first it was in the tabernacle before the temple was built, which was like this big temporary temple. And then they build the temple in the reign of King Solomon. And this is where all the sacrifices were done. It was the center of the old covenant. It was where the presence of God lived and dwelled among his people. So inside the building, they could point to the building and say, that's where the presence of God lives. That's where we go to hear from the Lord. That's where we go to offer sacrifices so that we can be close to the Lord and be forgiven. That's where the presence of God lives. The temple was a holy place set aside for that purpose. It was not used for anything else. People didn't get together and have lunch there. They didn't meet for whatever. They didn't keep their animals there except for the sacrificial animals. It was only set aside for this purpose, to serve the Lord and to connect God to his people. The Spirit of God spoke to a few people in that time during the Old Covenant. He spoke to prophets. He would sometimes speak to kings. He would sometimes speak to the priests. But these were a few people. We hear about them in the Old Testament, and they would speak the word of the Lord to the people at large. And sometimes long periods of time went by where there was no prophet or there was no priest who spoke the word of the Lord, or the kings and the priests were corrupt. And so there was this long time where it wasn't easy to hear from the Lord. One of the things that the prophets spoke of was the Messiah, the anointed one, who was coming. And he was going to deliver his people. He was going to reign on the earth. And all these prophecies said that he was going to, you know, bring Israel out from their oppression. And that's why the apostles were like, now's the time, Lord. Isn't this the time? You're the Messiah, so do it. That's what all the prophecies say. And the prophets also spoke about a new covenant where the words of God would be written on the hearts of people. So Jeremiah, actually, I'm saying all this to say that on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, there was established a new temple for the new covenant or the new deal between the Lord and people that was being established. It was a new temple because we had a new sacrifice, new priests and all that. We needed a new temple, and you are the new temple. So instead of a building people could point to and say, that's where the presence of God dwells, right there. If you need to go hear from the Lord, that's where you need to go. Instead, his believers became the new temple for the new covenant, which is like, whoa. I mean, we're kind of used to this because we live in New Testament times, but that was a big deal. Like, we're transitioning from the glorious, huge, gold-laden temple to me? The holiness of the Lord dwells in the most holy place behind big, thick, heavy curtains that only can be entered by priests who have had all of these sacrifices and washings. And now the presence of God is going to come and dwell in me? It's historic. It's amazing. And this covenant was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. This is what he said. Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. This is the covenant, but this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. What? And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. So there's this amazing shift happening right here on the day of Pentecost that we just read about, where the fire came down and filled the temple, the fire came down on the people's heads and all that kind of stuff, because we pick up the story of God's people right after things have made an enormous shift All right? So instead of the Old Testament, the old sacrifices, and the priests who made the sacrifices, we have one sacrifice for all. The only person who could, and God did not allow human sacrifice. So this was not just like, couldn't not, just any person couldn't have done this, but it was God himself who put on flesh like a garment and came to earth, was born as a baby, was the only person who never sinned because he was God and he couldn't sin. He was tempted just like us, but he never sinned. He was perfect. He was the one sacrifice for all time, and the last sacrifice that would ever be needed. So we have a new sacrifice, the one perfect sacrifice to cleanse our sins for good, change us on the inside, and defeat the law of sin and death. He gave his life for us willingly, and then he rose from the dead because death no longer had a hold on him. The law of sin and death was broken. The old imperfect way was done. But most of the Jews didn't even know it yet. With the new sacrifice came a new and better priest. So we had the old temple and the old sacrifices by the human priest. Now we have a new and better priest who is Jesus himself. And if you want to read about that, I tell you what, the book of Hebrews is an amazing place to read about why Jesus is a whole better priest than the old way. It's a really cool book. So Jesus was the new priest. Jesus himself, the perfect priest to link us to God instead of the old sinful priests who also had to offer sacrifices for their own sins so they wouldn't just burn up and die in the presence of the Lord. And since a new sacrifice had been made, it also opened up a new way for a new temple. Instead of the temple of stone that could only be in one place, here was a new and better temple. So why is this new and better temple better? Well, for one thing, that means that we take the presence of God with us wherever we go. That it's not just in one place, that we can take it to the nations, and we can take it to our neighborhood, and we can take it to the store, and the presence of God is with us everywhere we go. Oh, it's amazing. We don't have to say, come to the temple, and you'll meet God there. No, you can like meet God in the street corner. So I'm getting off track, sorry. So thinking about the old temple and the new temple, after the temple was established in the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord came down to fill the temple and burn up the sacrifice on the altar. That's what happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. So they had just built the old temple. It was fancy and shiny and covered in gold and beautiful things. And they had brought all these sacrifices, and then Solomon, king at the time, prayed this long prayer. And it was a beautiful prayer about how they were going to dedicate themselves to God and stuff. When Solomon finished praying, and this is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, fire flashed down from heaven and burned up the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. And the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because of the glorious presence of the Lord that had filled it. When all the people of Israel saw the fire coming down and the glorious presence of the Lord filling the temple, they fell face down on the ground and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "He is good. His faithful love endures forever." So let's look back at our passage in Acts and notice how this is almost, it's like a parallel here. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Once again, they're gathering just as Solomon and the people of God gathered at the temple. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And that's important. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So, man, the fire came down again. Visible fire. It didn't say, well, we imagined it was like figurative fire. It said fire came down. And then it wasn't just any fire. It divided up and settled on each person that was there. Every single person. I mean, what a beautiful sign that of the new temple. And Paul says later, later in the New Testament it says, don't you know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? This was the fire came down on each one of them. And now, just like Jeremiah said, every person can hear the voice of God. Every person can know him for themselves. And yes, we do listen to teachers, and we do listen to people who encourage us. And we talk about the Lord, and I don't think that's the point of that prophecy. I don't think they meant that we should never listen to anybody. I think it was more like now we can hear him. And you know, you can hear him too. And you might say, well, I've never heard God, or I try to hear God and I can't hear God, or I get frustrated because I pray and I can't hear God. But you can. And it's not like in your ear in a loud voice sometimes. Sometimes you have to learn what the voice of the Lord is like on the inside. And keep asking him, and he's going to reveal himself to you. So, now every person can hear the voice of God. Praise the Lord. So this huge thing happened. Everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important that we notice what the point of all this is. Okay, so my next point is the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to give us power to be Christ's witnesses in the world. In other words, to bring in the harvest. Isn't that what Jesus said? The words of Jesus and the day on which the Holy Spirit was given both emphasize that its purpose is to give us power to reap the harvest. The timing was significant. The Holy Spirit was given during the festival of Pentecost. Pentecost is the Greek word that means 50 days. And they didn't call this feast Pentecost in the old days in the Old Testament. They called it the Feast of Weeks, which I can't pronounce that Hebrew word. It's like Shavuot or something like that. But it means the Feast of Weeks because it was commanded by the Lord that on three occasions each year that all the Jewish men would come to Jerusalem and celebrate these certain feasts. One of them was Passover. One of them was this Feast of Weeks, which was also sometimes known as the Feast of the Harvest. Because it was celebrated, and then there was another one later, but the Feast of Tabernacles, yeah. So this is the Feast of the Harvest. This was the time in the Old Testament they were commanded to count seven sets of 7 days. So 7 weeks, they counted the days after the Feast of Pentecost. And on the 50th day, they were not supposed to do any work. They were supposed to be in Jerusalem. They were supposed to be offering sacrifices as thanksgiving to the Lord. They would bring loaves of bread from their harvest that the Lord had given them. Praise the Lord for the harvest, because this is how we don't starve. And they would wave them in the presence of the Lord in the temple. They would give them to the priests, and the priests would wave them as like a wave offering. And so it was a joyous time. It was celebration. It was, praise the Lord, there is food in our houses. It's no coincidence that the Holy Spirit was given during the harvest festival. Everything means something, doesn't it? This is not a coincidence. Didn't Jesus say earlier in his life, look about you, the fields are ripe for the harvest? He told his disciples, he's like, don't wait. The harvest is ready. You don't have to wait 4 more weeks before the harvest. And didn't he say in Acts chapter 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And he listed all the places and to all the ends of the earth. He gives us the power we need to reap the harvest. And that power was given during the harvest festival. And I'm sure it was not lost on the disciples because they understood this because they were Jews. If we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we forget that we are supposed to be using this power to reach people, we are completely missing the point. And man, the Lord just has been working in my heart about this because I need to be reaching people. And I've been standing, looking at the houses in my neighborhood and thinking about all of the things when I'm shopping and all that. I've got my mind on so many things. We need to be using power to reach the people, to share with people about the Lord because they need him so desperately. Because he really is the only answer. Every other religion is not going to do it for them. It's not going to work. It's like a kid. Maybe you're a parent. A lot of you in here are parents, and you like love to get your kids presents. I mean, we love to give good gifts to our kids, just like the Lord likes to give us good gifts. And so you get something. I gave my daughters, David and I gave our daughters a special gift that they had no idea was coming at Christmas. And We were so excited. We saved up money and we got a good deal. And we're like, oh, I can't wait for Christmas because we're going to give him this present. And I was so happy. And they were so surprised when they opened it up. Because we gave them phones, but we didn't actually connect them to phone service because we don't think they need that yet. But they were actually to be used to have. So, they're opening them up, they're like, yay! We're like, well, wait a second. Okay, be happy, but not that happy because you're not really getting phone service. But. But they love to use them for taking pictures. It was cheaper than an iPod. It was cheaper to get a phone. Pictures and drawing, and they write books on them. My daughters are amazing writers, and they sit there and write whole long books on their notes app on their phone. So we gave them these phones. But imagine what would have happened if they looked at the phone and went, huh, this is a cool box. I love this box. Mom, look, I can put it on my head. You know? Isn't that what little kids do when you give them like this awesome present? You're like, Power Wheels. And you take out the Power Wheels and they're like, this is a cool fort. Mom, I love this box. Can I color it? You know? So it makes me think of that when I think about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes in our Pentecostal churches, we like to pray in tongues and worship in our little house here. And we like to, I don't know, speak and prophesy. And we like to gather up with our Christians. But are we using this gift and power that the Lord gave us to reap the harvest? Because that's the point. It's not the point to have a little nice service where you get goosebumps. It's not the point. The point is to reap the harvest. And so if we're not looking toward the harvest and saying, God, what can I do? Show me what to do and I'm going to do it. Then it doesn't matter. Then we're just playing with the box. I mean, so Pentecost was also the perfect time for Jews from far away to hear about the good news because God's heart has always been for the nations to know him. This is the second thing I noticed about the timing of the Holy Spirit gift. It says, at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. So because they all came for the feast, they were commanded to come. If they were trying to follow the law, they had to be there. So they were there. And this is the time when and this was the opportunity that the Lord had. He seized the opportunity for them all to hear the good news about the new covenant. And then when they went back to their countries, wherever they were from, they took it with them. So 3,000 believers were added to that day. And I bet some of them went back to their own countries and said, you won't believe what happened in Jerusalem this year. Man, that was amazing. The heart of God has always been for the nations to know and glorify him because he is a father who wants to be known by his children. So all this is good. And as I was thinking about speaking on this today, I love to learn about all the historical things because I am that person. I love history and I listen to biographies on audiobook and I like to dig into, my kids are like, can we stop learning about history now, Mom? Because we're a homeschool family. And I love history, but I started thinking about like, Lord, what does this mean for us today? Because I feel like there are a lot of us in here who we recognized that the baptism in the Holy Spirit was something that we could ask the Lord for. So then this is how you do it. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you would like to, you recognize that the Lord is offering you a gift. You make sure that you have submitted yourself to Jesus and are that you believe in his name and that you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, because until the temple has been sanctified, the Holy Spirit is not going to come inside of it and live there and dwell there and fill it up. We do believe that there is a measure of the Holy Spirit that is given to you when you believe. And then we also believe that there is this other infilling, because we read in the New Testament how they went about saying, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit to the believers? And so we make sure that we're right with God in our hearts, that we trust him for our salvation, that we've asked him to forgive us for our sins and dedicated our lives to him. And then we say, Lord, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. And we praise the Lord and we wait and we pray. And the Lord does it. And he doesn't like come down and move your mouth for you, and you don't lose control of your body usually, and you don't like, okay, most of the time. And when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had been seeking it for like a month. I had been praying for it, and it was like, God, why isn't it happening? I don't know. And then one night, I was praying at an altar, laying hands on a girl. I was a teenager, laying hands on another teenage girl who was in a wheelchair, and I was praying for her for something. Nobody could hear me. Nobody was noticing me. And I thought, I feel like I could pray in tongues right now, but I don't want to fake it. I don't, but nobody can hear me, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. And I was like, and so I prayed in tongues for the first time in that moment, and then I was like, I could have done that a long time ago if I hadn't been so nervous about it. So I had to get out of my own way. But a lot of us have, there are many of us who have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and we feel like we don't have the power we need. Or we don't feel like, where's the power in my life that I'm supposed to have? So I want to give a little short demonstration here. You know, we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jamin, you sit on the front row for a reason, don't you? So the Lord fills us up. Oh, it's dripping. Oops. Sorry, Pastor. The Lord fills us with the Holy Spirit. It is dripping a lot. All right, here go. Oh, no, I'm stuck. All right. I guess I need to shoot somebody. I think I need a towel. So anyway, the Lord fills us with the Holy Spirit. I need a volunteer who doesn't mind getting a little wet. Oh, I'm not going to shoot you, I promise. Liza. God bless Liza. All right. All right, here goes. See if it works. It doesn't work. It works. All right. All right. So, you are armed with the power of the Holy Spirit. You have been filled with the Spirit. All right? But sometimes we can't use the power because there's something else in the way. And you know, I used to do children's ministry, and I just cannot seem to give up object lessons. So, there are a lot of things that sometimes we hold on to that keep us from using the power of the Lord. Sometimes, it's all right. You just, like, hold this with one hand. There you go. Okay. Or, like, on your arm. Oh. We want to be entertained. We're spending a lot of time being entertained. We're really worried about, did I catch my show? But I really want to spend my time doing this and this and this, and it's fun, and I don't want to miss out. Okay? Maybe it's busyness. Well, I got so much going on with my family, Lord. I haven't been able to think about it. All the times when I saw those people, I was in a hurry. Maybe it's offenses. I'm so hurt by that church people who did that to me. I can't believe they would do that to me. And I can't get over it, and I'm not going back to church. It's not an excuse, though. Money. We hold a little bit too tightly to the things of the world. We really want to make our money and be prosperous. Desiring cultural relevance. Oh, look, it says Game of Thrones in there. Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that. Sometimes we use the excuse of wanting to be culturally relevant as an excuse for our sin. Career. Here you go, just grab a little more. We're really focused on our career sometimes. It gets in the way. Anger. Well, you're going to have to adjust. Can you like, okay, here. You hold this like this. Give me your arm out here. All right. Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Anger. Unforgiveness. Man, these are hard things. We hold on to them so tightly, they're hard to put down. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. All right. Oh, here's a good broad one, sin. What's the sin that you haven't been able to let go of? That you know it's there, it's hard to let go, and you're holding on to it too tightly. Your reputation, what are they gonna think of me if I say this? What if I don't know the answers to all their questions? What are they gonna think of me? My boss won't like me anymore. He doesn't like Christians. Fear, I'm afraid. Can you handle some more? Sometimes even a love for our family, if we're putting them above the Lord. Well, I have to do this for my kids. I have to do this for so-and-so. I don't have time to take them to church because I want them to be able to fulfill their dreams and they have to go on travel baseball or whatever. I don't know. It's just an example. I'm not, so, not condemning travel baseball. All these things, we hold on so tightly to them and we need to let them go. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin which so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Man, she can't use the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's not because the power isn't there. It's because she's holding on so tightly to all these things. And it may not be all of them for you, but maybe it's one or two. Maybe it's something. Man, and I think about myself. The Lord has been working in my heart. What have I not surrendered? What have I not laid down? Because when you're a slave for Christ, you don't worry about what you go in your own way. You don't think about what your own plans would be. You don't think about what your dreams are. You give them to the Lord, and the Lord becomes your dream, and he fulfills your dreams and gives you new dreams. And sometimes he goes ahead and fulfills those old dreams anyway. But we got to let it go. And some versions say cast it off. You just cast off all those things for us. Thank you. Let's cast them off. You know, let's don't be safe with our sin. Let's cast it off so we can use the it wasn't me. The power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Liza. Oh, so today I know it's you all have lunch plans, but let's stay and listen to the Lord today. If you're here and you say, I would really like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've prayed for it and it hasn't happened, or maybe you've never prayed for it before because you didn't know what it was. I'm going to invite you in a minute to come up, and we have people who are going to help you and pray for you and give you some time to seek the Lord, because I can't fill you with the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. I can't manufacture it for you. I'm not going to make you fake it. Only the Holy Spirit can do it for you. So when I call people up, and if that's you, you please come over here, because that way we know what you are seeking and the people who are praying with you know how to pray, okay? So if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this little section over here is for you, okay? If you're like me and you just need to surrender some more, Lord, let me lay more of my life down. If there's something that the Lord is speaking to you about, please listen to him. Don't hold on to it anymore. Cast it off. Strip it off. Throw it away. Don't be gentle on it. Be willing to give up your sin and the things that you know the Lord has been speaking to you about. And we're going to worship the Lord, and I just invite you to come and spend some time with Jesus, because he's the changer. He changes people.